Simply Conscious presents Everyday Genius. Real-life stories of everyday genius, unconventional wisdom, and inspiring transformations.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Everyday Genius. I'm your host, Pete Craig, and today I'm absolutely honored to welcome to the show a serial entrepreneur, a philanthropist, a public speaker, and an amazing mind coach, Regan Hillier. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pete. It's awesome to be here. Thank you for having me.
I just wanted to keep that introduction really, really short because I don't believe, having kind of consumed some of the content that you put out, that does justice, or that I can do justice to what it is that you do. So through the course of this podcast, I think we'll draw some of that out. So rather than me try and put labels on what it is that you do, I just want your genius to shine through and let people see and feel that.
Perfect. I love that. Awesome.
So first of all, it's kind of like, how I want to give a little bit of context. So I've just shared with you, you know, that you're someone that I've followed for a little while, because there's people that are in my circle that are in your circle. And you're actually on my list of people that I wanted to interview to a podcast. So this is beautiful that this has happened now. And the reason I wanted to speak to you was because there's a unique kind of like genius within you, I think, that you discovered. And I want to kind of like dive in a little bit as we go through this as to how that came about. You know, but you unlock something in people, and it seems that that's you kind of like ignite them, and you help them to create the life that they're meant to live. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. Yeah. The core heartbeat to everything I do really is helping people have it all. And that looks really different for different people, but really tapping in at a soul level to what they truly desire and want to manifest and create in their life. And then really helping them get aligned to that and then actually create it in the 3D physical reality. Yeah.
Awesome. Now, before we dive in, there's a couple of things. There's a few practices that we as a business do. And I always try to invite our guests kind of to play this game with us a little bit as well. So the first thing is, kind of, I just want to ask you, what's alive in you right now?
What's alive in me is that I'm really, really connected to the fact that the world on a global scale is going through a big transition right now. And I know there's a lot of fear and a lot of doubt and a lot of uncertainty, but what's alive in me is actually this energy of possibility and this energy of expansiveness and creation and talking. There's a lot of people talking about the future and the world and the planet they want to see. And I believe truly it's actually starting to unfold and happen right now. And in order to do that, we have to crumble away the old. So what's alive in me is being really present to this transition, which we're moving through.
Awesome. Yeah, I 100% feel that as well. It's definitely a time of change. And I think more and more people than ever are kind of like feeling into that as well, which is beautiful.
Yes.
The next question then is, and it comes off the back of that, what's the universe inviting you to do more of?
I feel like the universe is really inviting me just to serve more, you know, especially during this moment. The biggest thing, you know, people ask me like, how have you changed your business? What have you pivoted? Like what's different for you now? And I'm like, honestly, I just feel like I'm even more in service. I'm just showing up in a bigger way, saying yes in a bigger way, going into my heart in a bigger way, really looking at how can I be of true service to the planet in a bigger way. And it's not that I wasn't doing that before. It's just this next level of it, which has come online, which has been like really beautiful and sometimes uncomfortable to lean into, but it feels good at the end of the day.
Awesome. You mentioned a word there that kind of really just lately has triggered me far more than it used to, which is pivot. And I hear so many people saying that they need to pivot. And there's this idea that, you know, it's some magical action that they can take that's going to sort everything out. And
right.
The reality is, for most of us, we just need to get clearer. We just need to go deeper and serve from think from the heart rather than the head. And I think when you start to do that, everything becomes much easier.
Exactly. And if there's any pivot that's going to take place first, it's an internal pivot into going deeper, like you said, into your heart, into service, away from the mind. And from that place, yeah, you might take different actions in your life and in your business, but it's never going to work if you just go out and do the strategy different versus going through this internal pivot first. I mean, that's what really counts.
100%. Yeah. It's we create from the inside out, or we should create from the inside out. And for far too long, we haven't.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
And finally, before we dive in, what are you grateful for right now?
I'm really grateful for the internet because it's connecting us right now. It's giving everyone a voice. It's allowing us in a time where many people are feeling a lot of separation to actually go into deeper connection and really realize how connected we are all right now, you know? So every day, I kind of thought the other day, wow, imagine if we really didn't have any internet, if no one had internet, like everything would be very different. So I'm super grateful for that.
Me too. But it does also throw up a question, and it's perhaps a little bit controversial, that if we didn't have the internet and if the media weren't the way it is right now, you know, would this current pandemic be as having the impact that it's having?
Totally. Yeah. And I think, you know, it is an interesting conversation because at the same time, there's a lot of, we have the internet, but there's a lot of basic human rights that are being taken away in terms of freedom of speech. There's a lot being censored. Obviously the narrative of the mainstream media is like heavily controlling a lot of people. And so I really believe there's a way where you can stay in connection, you know, by doing things like this, for example, this connection we're having right now, or anyone tuning into that, like you're part of this connection. But then also like choose to consciously unplug and disconnect from any streams which are not serving you and are not in the highest. And yeah, there is stuff to maneuver online. You know, I was actually recently deplatformed from my personal Facebook page because I did a live stream sharing some insights around some of the things which are actually going on right now. And within an hour, my whole account got permanently deleted. You know, that's an account I've nurtured for 10 years, right? Yeah. So this stuff is real and it's absolutely happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Scary. And I don't want to go too far down that path. It's a, it brings up a lot of different reactions from people that we're not here to stir up right now. So
totally,
let's move on. I want you, in your own words, to just tell people what it is that you do. Because it's difficult. There's so much. Yeah, there is not one thing. And I read and a number of times, and I kept looking through, you know, your profile, your bio, and some of the things that you shared. But there's so much to it. It's very difficult to just pinpoint and put one thing on it. So, yeah, just in your own words, you know, share with people what it is that you know, your business is about. What are you about, and how? What's your mission in life?
Totally. Yeah. And you're right. It's very multifaceted and there's a lot of moving pieces going all at once, but you know, the core heartbeat of all of it, it really comes back to raising the vibration of the planet and helping people alter their frequency from the inside out. And from that place, they go out and they shift the planet in an entirely different way. And so everything I do always links back to that. And if I'm presented with an opportunity or a business, you know, something's going on and someone's like, hey, Regan, come and speak here. That's my checkpoint. I'm always like, is this actually aligned with my mission of raising the vibration of individuals and the collective of the planet? It all comes back to that for me.
That's really beautiful, because when Daniel and I started Simply Conscious, we describe it as a container, and within that container, it's our responsibility to do nothing else than just to hold the frequency at a level that allows people to change, and then invite people into that and let creation happen. So yeah, it's beautiful that you've described your work in that way as well. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
What is it that really lights you up about that? Because it can't always have been that way. Or was it?
No, it definitely didn't start out like this. You know, when I started my journey, I couldn't even really see five steps in front of me. I didn't start out with a huge global planetary mission of waking up millions of people. Like I wasn't there. I was literally Like, how do I create a life that I love? Like, I had to get me sorted first. And you know, I just went on this kind of trial and error self-discovery journey of like, I just want to feel happy and feel good and do something I love every day. Like, it really started there, you know? And then when things started shifting in my life, I started helping other people do the same just for free in the beginning. I just started sharing the things that I was personally unlocking and learning and studying. And people started coming back to me saying, thank you, Regan. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness. Like, this now changed in my life. Now I understand this. I'm different in this way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And for the first time ever, I felt a sense of purpose, right? And for the first time ever, I felt connected to something separate to my own life, really. And I thought to myself, this helping people thing feels really good. So that's really what threw me down this path. And it's been a evolving journey from there. But yeah, it definitely didn't start out with this like big mission to alter the frequency of the planet. It started with me, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's so true. I always remember one of my, kind of like gurus at the time, if you want to call that, so a spiritual leader from India, he always talked about this idea that you can't create change unless you take care of yourself first. And he kind of talks about this idea that you should live a 200% life, 100% spiritual and 100% material, because unless you take care of you, then you're in no position to help other people. So yeah, I think that's crucial.
Absolutely. And one of my first mentors said that to me as well. He's like, Regan, you have to learn to put your own oxygen mask on first. And you have to learn that, you know, even charity starts at home. Like, I feel when people start, you know, waking up and start seeing some success with their business, they almost feel this pressure of like, okay, now I have to give back and create a foundation and like do all these things, which they see other people doing. But yes, and like, how are you? How's your family? How's your community? How's your tribe? Like, get that sorted. And then from there, when there's the surplus, we can go into this giving, because if you can't give to yourself firstly, then you're in no position to give to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think is the, so when you went through that process of kind of just fixing yourself, you know, what were the things that allowed you, because there's a problem, a condition that we have as humans, and that's that, you know, once we come out of childhood, we forget how to connect with our innate genius. We forget how to connect with our inner wisdom, yeah, because it's always there and it's there for all of us to access. Yeah, but we kind of we learn to block that out, or we're conditioned to block that out over time. So how did you find your way back to that? And you know, what was the thing, I guess, that where you suddenly noticed something different? You know, it's almost like you sit back one day and you think, wow, something's shifted, and I'm getting these, I've got this knowledge now that I didn't have before, this awareness now that I didn't have before. Yeah, tell me about that.
Totally. I don't think there's like one thing, to be honest. I don't think it was like a moment where I was kind of disconnected from myself, then this big thing happened, and then all of a sudden I went into this new place. Some people have that. Some people definitely go through processes like that. I feel for me, it's been a really gradual unfolding. You know, it's been every single day without exception for the last 10, 11, 12 years, being in the work every day. It's sitting there, it's journaling, it's meditating, it's moving my body, it's having conscious conversations with people, it's going to masterminds, it's going to events, it's having mentors that reflected parts of me that I couldn't see and couldn't even believe in myself to a certain extent, you know? And it's been all these little kind of micro things, to be honest, that then accumulate until one day you're like, whoa, I'm entirely different. But it's a stack up from all the work, you know? And I feel it is this daily commitment and almost like spiritual muscle, which I have been really present to and I have gone deep into. You know, I wouldn't like just do a daily practice one day and then like leave it a month and then go back to it. Like, it's been every single day without exception. And that's because I love it and it's like become a part of who I am. And then there's definitely been like accelerators. You know, we take groups to Peru and we work deeply with sacred medicine and sit in sacred circles with elders from the tribes and in the jungle. And there's been deep layers of soul remembrance come online from some of that deep work over the past couple of years. But yeah, it's none of that would have even really activated or counted if it hadn't have been this daily discipline, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's what people are missing. everyone wants instant gratification. And, you know, I always find it, I'm never surprised by it. But it always fascinates me that people do have this long journey. You know, people come across, come across individuals and you think that, what they've got, they had, or they've got it overnight. Yeah. And the reality is when you start asking those questions, and like you said before, you started off not with this big mission that you've got now. You started off with this much smaller mission, which was just to kind of reconnect with you and just to take care of you. And it's evolved into this thing, and it takes time. It takes a long time in some cases to get to that point where you can really have the impact that you desire.
Exactly. And you're so right. I feel like so many people look at their Beyonce, whoever that is in their world, and they're trying to figure out what Beyonce is doing now to create her success. But I'm more curious, like, where did Beyonce come from? What did she do in the beginning? Like, what were those struggles she went through, because everyone sees Beyonce now and they're like, wow, but you don't necessarily see the backstory and the mission. And there's work in every sense of the word, and there's discipline and there's commitment and there's like courage and conviction and humility and so many layers to go into,
Absolutely. What, and I'm sure you've asked this question of people, but what do you believe is your, is unique about you? And what do other people reflect back to you as your uniqueness of as your genius?
I think the thing that's unique with me, I mean, we're all unique, right? There's all these different facets, but one of the things I do pride myself on is my authenticity and my just willingness to be myself, and people do say that to me. They're like, they might follow me on the internet, but then they see me speak on stage and then they meet me in person and it's the same Regan they get, she might be dressed a different way, but the core essence of me is the same. And I think, I really went into this intentionally, and it's a part of me I really wanted to bring forward into the world, because I had experiences in the beginning of my personal development journey where I saw the opposite of that. And I saw people who I admired and kind of pedestaled, and I saw them on stages and I was like, wow, they're so successful, they're so this, they're so that. And then I got to know them behind the scenes and their life was a mess and they were totally different and they weren't in integrity with what they were teaching and preaching and saying, and they were being completely different. And I remember being heartbroken, right, when I found that one of my mentors who I'd idolized was not like that. All of a sudden, when I ended up at a party with him and I witnessed him and I was like, who is this human? And so I made a vow to myself, like, okay, if I ever create any level of success, like, I'm just going to be me and I'm going to do my absolute best to constantly be in integrity with myself in all ways and show up in my highest across the board. And so, it's a cool question to ask because people do reflect that. And often I receive it and I also think, like, I worked on that. it didn't just happen. Like, that was a conscious thing that I did work on.
I think you're so right as well. And this is, spent a long time kind of like working in that space. We used to run events and 500 750 person events, and many of the speakers that people would come to see, that it's almost like this fanboy mentality. And actually, as the organizer of the event, you know what's going on with these people, and you know that they're not that person, That's again something that's always stuck with me. And rightly or not rightly or wrongly, it's always rightly. There are times when things don't go the way that you want them to because you're being authentic. And I think that's the hard piece for people, is it's kind of like treading this line of just staying true to who you are and ignoring kind of like the pulls and the distractions that are coming towards you, that are perhaps promising fast riches or promising whatever it is that you're desiring at that particular time. I think that this is the test of life, is can you remain authentic and true to yourself.
Exactly. And I feel the more that you do that and show up in that way, the world, the universe, God really does support you in that. And there's been so many times where, I've written a vulnerable Facebook post, which doesn't highlight me in my greatness, but it highlighted me in my vulnerabilities and my things that I was shifting through and something that I learned about myself or a crazy experience, which I'd had, and you know, those pieces of content more than the ones where it's like, yay, I did this. Look at me. I'm so great and successful. Those were the ones that people connected with and that they wrote to me and they were like, Regan, you spoke to my heart and me too. And I've been through this. And, you know, those were the ones that really people respected and connected with. And yeah, it's been a big lesson of really choosing to feel safe in your vulnerability, especially on a public platform, rather than, you know, this perfect shiny guru that can do no wrong. Like, that's outdated. People are done with that. They want to feel the heart. They want to feel behind the scenes. They want to get to know you intimately, even if it's through the internet. And the more that you're willing to do that, I really believe the world will support you in that. You know?
Absolutely. And it comes down to, you know, you talked before about frequency. And the frequency only comes from the heart. The frequency doesn't come from the head. Yeah, and the moment right. You drop down and you drop down into that heart space and you start communicating from there, it's then that other people can feel. It's almost like you don't need to use words so much.
Exactly.
The message just comes through and people feel whether you're the right person to be guiding them or you're the right person to be supporting them. They feel it much more than just actually the intellectualizing of, you know, what's the person saying.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is why your frequency is everything. I say all the time, your frequency is your currency. You know, everyone thinks money is the currency, but no, your frequency is your currency. It's the true exchange that we have here on the planet. And I see people, you know, especially starting out in business and maybe they've been struggling a little bit and they're like, okay, I have to launch this product and do this thing to make the money. And even if they have a good intention to help people in the process, if the core intention is to actually, it's for self-service and it's for just receiving the money, people feel that. And then they're like, why isn't my launch working? I did all the things. And I'm like, because your frequency is off. Like, you're not in your heart. You're not in true service. You're not in divine service. You're in the self-serving nature. And the minute they can see that, catch that without judgment and recalibrate it, all of a sudden everything opens up, right? And they actually genuinely receive more than they're even expecting to.
For sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. How do you, I'm sure you see this time and time again, but you know, throughout life, we learn to put masks on in order to fit in into, you know, certain situations. So how do you address that if you're working with a client, for example, and you spot straight away? Yeah, and it becomes very apparent when you're perhaps a little bit more aware and you've done the work yourself. How do you address that with them? How do you help them? Because sometimes these masks have been of something that we've worn for 10, 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it is their identity. They just don't know. So there's a part of them that's just lost way back here. How do you begin to help them see that? And give them the strength to kind of like dive in and peel back those layers, those layers of the onion that get to the heart of who they are.
Totally. Well, firstly, I ask their permission if they're actually open to receiving and looking at something which I can see and feel in their field. And from this place, you know, I actually firstly reconnect them to their higher self, to what I see as the true essence of who they are. And then I let them know my perception of what I believe is holding them back or limiting of them truly stepping into this higher facet. I remind them that when they're in their higher self, they're going to live their best life. They're going to manifest everything they want. I get them unconsciously motivated to wanting to be in their higher self. And then the minute their system can see, oh, this is blocking me, stopping me, or holding me back, from a place of love, not a place of like, you're wearing this mask and you're doing this and you failed, you know, versus like gently reflecting it, they're kind of open to seeing it. And also if there's like a deeper layer of resistance, I might almost share just some of the stories from my past as well around so many masks which I've seen and peeled back and torn away and like removed again and then didn't even know it was there. And then it comes up again, you know, and even when I was starting out on the internet, I had like a split personality. I had two versions of Regan. I had like professional Regan that would show up on the internet and record these videos for her blog. I would wear like a blazer, like a suit jacket. Can you even believe it? Like, I should find some of these videos and dig them out. But I was like all professional, perfect hair, perfect makeup. I was living in Bali. And then I would take it all off. I would get into my swimwear and I would just be around the pool for the rest of the day. And it felt exhausting. And then it just kind of hit me one day. I was like, what if I just showed up on the internet in my purpose as me, and I didn't get all dressed up, and I didn't, you know, try and be this corporate whatever I was trying to be. And I realized that that mask that I was wearing was an attempt to try and like please other people, my perception of what I thought they wanted. It was trying to keep me safe from actually vulnerably being me and being seen. And the minute I tore this away, my business amplified. People were like, oh my goodness, I love your content. Everything started being shared. It opened up so much, but it took a lot of courage to peel back that mask, right? So there's been so many examples of that. And I share these stories with people so they can be like, oh yeah, this is a human process, not just me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a powerful message, you know, that actually, you know, just being yourself. We have this expectation, or we build up this picture of what mm-hmm. people think we should look like, or what people think we should say, how we think people think we should behave. And the reality is that's just our own insecurities that are being projected. And the reality is, if you ask that person, you know, how do you see me? The response is often completely different.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's a really nice exercise to do sometimes, is just to reach out to, you know, people in your network and ask them, you know, how do you see me? You know, what do you see as my genius? And it's like, I don't know if you've seen the exercise where you put two people together and you ask them to draw each other. Mm. And then you turn the picture and show it to them. And the pictures, people don't recognize themselves quite often, because actually what the other person is seeing is not the visual features that we obsess on ourselves. Yeah, they're seeing the joy that's coming through. They're seeing the light, the smile, and those are the things that they draw. They're not seeing these fixations that we have with parts of our body that aren't right.
Yes.
Or we perceive it's not right.
I know, it's so beautiful. And it's so important to create a community around you where you can have these conversations and you have people that witness you in your highest and hold you to that and see that. And everyone thinks and hopes sometimes that that's going to be their family, like their blood family. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes you've got to create that tribe and look elsewhere and surround yourself with people that actually honor you and see you and lift you up. It's so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you give us an example of like a moment where you've just had to follow your heart, your intuition, where perhaps everything else is screaming at you, you know, your mind is screaming no, 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 but there's just something. And you know, maybe this is the start of your journey, because I know you started off in architecture and this has kind of evolved, you know, so maybe that's the incident, but maybe there's something that's perhaps more poignant that you want to share.
I think I could write a book around the amount of times that my intuition has been so strong. I could write one book on all the times I listened to it and one book on all the times I ignored it and what happened. So one beautiful moment which is coming to mind is I was actually in Malaysia at the time. And I connected with Vision, who's the CEO of Mind Valley. A friend connected us. We had a really beautiful lunch. It was like 3 or 4 hours, right? We were going off on all these different things. And at the end of the lunch, he said to me, he said, Regan, you've got to come to this Mind Valley event. It's super powerful. There's 300 entrepreneurs. It's amazing. You've got to come. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, cool. I'll think about it. And he's like, you've got to come. He said, people literally meet like their life partners and their business partners there. Like you'll just meet the most amazing people. He goes, you might even like meet the love of your life. And I was in a relationship at the time and I was like, well, I really don't want that. Like I'm good. Right. And he was like, you've just got to come. I was like, okay, I'll come. And that was about 7 months before the event, right? So the event got closer and closer and closer. And I was actually booked to speak in London at the time. And I realized this London speaking engagement, which was booked in for a while, was clashing with this event in Mexico. And so I sat down and there were two things. My intuition said, go to Mexico. And I also had my integrity to my word with Vision that I would go to his event. And so I rang my friend in London and I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to be able to speak. I can't come. And he's like, well, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to Mexico. He's like, why? I don't really know. I just have to be in Mexico. He's like, okay, Regan, like whatever. And so I canceled that event. I go to Mexico and I'm a huge introvert. Like my idea of fun, to be honest, is not going to 1,000 parties and meeting 1,000 people. Yeah. I'm like, give me my book and my bubble bath. Like I'm good. Right. And so it was a big stretch for me to go by myself and do this. My relationship that I was in when I met Vishen had since, you know, ended and fizzled away. And it was on the very last night of that event that I met Wampa, right? Who we're now creating our life together. And this is years and years on. It was so beautiful, but none of that would have happened in that moment in time if I hadn't have listened, if I hadn't have made some really not logical choices to turn down a speaking free and let my friend down and say, I'm sorry, I'm pulling out of something versus my intuition was like, go to Mexico.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful.
There's been many of those.
Yeah. And how long have you guys been together now?
About 4 years now. Yeah.
Awesome. Uh-huh. Yeah. So he was right.
Bishop, I know. And Vishen claims it. He's like, he sees us. He's like, I did that.
is there something that almost got like a moment in life where you've just kind of like felt complete kind of like despair? And you've had to like, you know, you've had to connect with something that's kind of pulled you out, you know, a higher power, whatever you want to call it. And you've had to kind of really go deep to bring yourself out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been a few of those moments. The one that springs to mind, I was about, I think 23 at the time, roughly. And I'd built a pretty successful offline education company in Australia and New Zealand. We were doing, you know, just over $1 million a year. And at the time I was like, wow, like I've made it. This is my dream, right? And everyone was telling me, you know, you've done so well at such a young age. And I remember going in to fulfill one of these events. There were about 50 people in the room and I was standing outside the door and I got this absolutely sick feeling in my stomach. Like my whole body was like, this is wrong. This is off. Don't go inside. And so obviously went in and fulfilled the event. But right after that, I went to Bali and I disconnected and I said to my business partner, look, I need to go and sort this out because this feeling, I can't shift it. I literally feel sick to my stomach even thinking about this business. And there was nothing wrong. There was nothing out of integrity. Like it was great what we were doing. But when I deep dived into this deeply, I realized that there were a few things that were out of alignment. I could only help so many people through this business model. And I also wanted to be anywhere and travel the world. And the way I'd structured everything, I really had to be there. Like I couldn't replace myself through this system. And I had to be basically in Australia and New Zealand. And so I felt so weird in that moment because I knew at a soul level that I had to walk away from it. I knew that I would be doing a disservice if I tried to make it work and find a way and stay. Like I knew I'd just be wasting my time. Yet I felt like I was walking away from everything that I'd built. Everyone, all my business coaches, my friends, everyone, when I told them like, I'm going to leave this business, they were like, you're screwing it up. This is the biggest sabotage in the world. You're going to lose everything. What are you doing? Like I had everyone in my life telling me not to do it basically. And I did, I walked away from that business. And the only way I can describe it is there was something higher than me pulling me forward. I couldn't see the next layers of it. I didn't leave with a plan. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to go now and launch this and create that. Right. But everything opened up for me because I listened to that and I surrendered to that. And I got deeply clear on what was not in alignment. I got deeply clear on what I didn't want so that I could move forward into this next place of clarity. But it was scary and it was confusing and I felt like I was screwing it up, but I really chose to listen to it and I'm super happy now that I did.
Yeah. I think something you just said there is really important, and that's that, and we don't do enough of it. And that's that you got really clear on what you didn't want.
Yeah. You know?
Most of us focus on the things that we want all the time. And it's always this kind of like chase. We're always seeking something. We're always trying to find something. And actually you can find those things far quicker if you just get really clear on what it is that you don't want in your life anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. It's getting clear on what you don't want. And another thing I work with on my clients is also looking at raising their level of tolerance, like really shifting what they're tolerating in their life, because in your life, you don't necessarily right now in the moment get what you're dreaming about. Like, yes, we can work at that and that evolves and comes through over time, but you do get what you tolerate. So everyone right now in their life is actually living into their minimum standard. And their minimum standard can absolutely suck, or it can be brilliant and there can be a next. But, you know, this is, if you want to know your minimum standard, just look at your life. You're living at your minimum. So the minute you know that and you have your dream and your goal and you're running towards that, if you just work at raising your minimum and going, I'm no longer tolerating that. I'm not okay with that. This amount of money. No, like my minimum is now here. The minute you start recalibrating that, you start getting what you expect and everything starts shifting.
Exactly. Yeah. No, 100%. I'm going to ask you this one and you can choose not to answer if you want, but,
okay. Yeah. Try me.
I always just like to ask if there's something that, you kind of feel called to share to the viewers, of this podcast that you've never shared, kind of publicly before. That would be of benefit to them.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I feel like I've shared a lot publicly. So there's been, I'm a pretty open book.
It's one of the challenges of being so, so in tune and just so authentic. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, I guess I have shared this publicly, but maybe I don't talk about it that much. And I mean, this is an example from a few days ago, so I haven't shared the example publicly. But I think the big thing to know is that no matter where you kind of get to in life and no matter what kind of life you're living, like you still have your personal struggles and you still have your personal challenges. And, you know, it was a few days ago where I just had a really crazy day and I felt like super down, super out of it. I had to really do my work to even like get up and be present with my life, right? I had something go on with a friend of mine and there was a conversation and there was an element of betrayal and it came back and it hurt me. It hurt my heart. And I had to go into these uncomfortable places of speaking my truth and clearing it up and just dealing with this stuff, like human stuff, you know? And then I got stung by a bee on my foot and my foot was in pain. I was like, what is going on? You know, it was just one of these crazy days that transpired into 3 or 4 crazy days, you know? But I feel it's important to share this because everyone goes through the stuff and it's, you don't necessarily put all of it on the internet. So everyone doesn't know about all of it all the time, but I feel it's important to know that like, yeah, I kind of had a heartbreak a few days ago and I feel still like a little bit tender and vulnerable with it and I'm healing it and I'm working on it. But it's also like a level of my humanness and part of my minimum standard raising, like, no, I'm not going to tolerate that in my life anymore. Like I only have relationships which are in this vibration coming back to the frequency. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a really important message. Cause I think it's very easy. It's very easy to be the observer, and to think that everything's perfect and other people have got everything that you want. That life's not fair, you know, but the reality is we all have the same challenges. We're all human, you know, and we're all subject to the same tricks that the mind plays from time to time. And we have to learn to deal with that and cope with that and work through it. I think perhaps that's the most important thing. Often we don't feel everything. You know, we suppress the emotion rather than quite feeling it and letting it flow through us. And it's only when you let it flow through that you're released from it.
Exactly. And like, you know, that would have been the bypass for me. Yeah. Okay, focus on the work. It's fine. Deal with it. I'm good. You know, rather than allowing myself to go into the process of being like, wow, I feel hurt. I feel sad. Like, this is not okay. I trusted this person for years, you know, allowing all of that to transmute through my body. And, you know, I made that error many times years ago when I didn't do that and I didn't process the emotion and it crystallizes in your body. You hold it. Then all of a sudden it appears years later and you're like, where is this coming from? Because you didn't deal with it in the moment, you know?
And I think, people aren't aware that holding that stress in, holding those emotions in actually manifests in as sickness, as illness, as disease. And really the only way to free yourself of those is to do the work and to identify them and to break or release them, not even break free from them, just release them, surrender and let them go.
Exactly. And I really believe we're here as a human to have a human experience, a full sensory experience. And I used to think that if I blocked out, you know, that anger or the sadness or the guilt, if I like numbed that and pushed it away, it was fine. But, you know, when I did that, I also numbed the bliss and the love and the joy and the peace and all the good things. And I realized I was living this numbed out life. And it wasn't until I actually taught myself to feel again and be okay to express the emotions. And, you know, a part of personal development sent me on that path. It was like, oh, these emotions are negative, the anger, the sadness, like these are not good, versus, okay, what if there was no good and bad and they all just were? And what if they were actually just energy and motion and they were serving us, actually transmuting and shifting something and bringing it to the light? What if we loved all of these emotions and saw them as a gift? You know, I had to recalibrate that a lot.
I agree. I think there's elements of the personal development space, you know, and it's been amazing for me, and it's been amazing for you, I know, but there are elements of it where, you know, the message is wrong, you know, and it does send people down a wrong path. And it's almost like papering over the cracks rather than actually, you know, going deep and doing the work. And unfortunately, doing the work is painful, but it's the only way to really do it.
There's no shortcut. Yeah. There's no shortcut.
So just before we wrap up, I just want to ask, are there any words of wisdom that you'd like to share?
I feel like this has been such a beautiful conversation. I've really loved your questions and the kind of deep inquiry that we've gone into. So for anyone listening, you know, I would just love to invite you to go deeper in your own journey through this, you know, really tap into the pieces which moved you, the pieces which excited you, maybe triggered you, whatever came up for you, like use those little touch points as a tool to go deeper in yourself and deeper into your own journey of alchemy and recalibration so that you can recalibrate into this higher frequency that we've both been talking about.
Awesome. Awesome. Perfect. That's absolutely amazing. Obviously, we'll put a link to, you know, some of your resources underneath. So if people do want some guidance on any of that, then yeah, they can get that from you, because I think that's important that people have a reference, because it can be a challenging collect journey as you start to explore that, and it's nice to have a guide or someone to hold that space for you. So you know, we'll include some links to some of those resources underneath, so as people can reach out and see what it is that we've been talking about and understand how they can make that transition themselves.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Pete. Yeah, it's been amazing.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Reagan.
Yeah, thank you.
For more real life stories of everyday genius, unconventional wisdom and inspiring transformations, subscribe to our podcast or go to simplyconscious.com. Get more out of life.